Damaging storms have hit us over and over. Shamrock is leading up the recovery effort. Get a free inspection, and if need be, we'll repair or replace your roof while working with your insurance company to set your mind at ease. One call does it all. ShamrockRoofer.com.
All right, people. So we need to work this out, because I get too many emails. Hey, what song did Jake play? It was around, you know, 8:30, and like I can't remember like what Jake said to me, or, you know. But a lot. But my point is, we got to do something about this. And I've tried to even do this. I've started a Spotify list of songs that you play that I didn't listen to before.
I don't do Spotify, but
But will you do Spotify? If I give you my password and everything, will you add them to this list?
Yeah, man.
Instead of me constantly, hey, what's this song again?
Sure. I can do that.
But the listener would like that. I've received multiple requests of you compiling. You take it as a compliment.
More work.
Right. Well, there it is. There's kind of like when Bloom asked about an update for our outing, our Border Patrol outing, and I said there's been zero movement.
So there is movement. Right. I have a list.
What movement has there been?
I've compiled a list.
That's not movement. We did that on the air.
We
compiled the list on the air.
As we've proven, it's better to have Jake compile that list than me, because there'll be one massive omission.
Right.
The list.
Right.
No. Can't believe it didn't invite Jarrett Sutton.
No, Jarrett was one of the...
I know. I'm saying I would leave off like an obvious name. That's what I do every time.
So what are you playing now?
I'm playing Taylor Swift.
Okay. Is this because you want this?
No, I think our next
guest... Did Annie ask for this?
She didn't ask for it, but...
We try to cater to the...
Yeah, I try to play...
Tastes of our guests.
Our guests, you know.
Okay,
They're very, you know... They're good with their time. They take time out to join us fools, and so I try to, you know, appease them by playing some music that they enjoy.
Annie, if you give, like, if Jake asks you what music you want played when you come on the show, give us a couple of artists or something so we'll have some ideas moving forward, because we want you in a good mood when you come on the show.
Well, Taylor Swift definitely puts me in a good mood.
Okay.
So, good job there. I noticed it right away when it came in. I've been listening to Fearless, Taylor's version, basically all week since it's come out. It's amazing, bringing me back to my when I grew up, basically. So that's always good. Love Harry Styles.
I hear a lot of Harry Styles in my household, so, you know.
I mean, you know, I'm a 24-year-old young woman. I love Harry Styles, you know, I'm not ashamed of it.
Oh, trust me, no, I've got 12-year-old twin girls that, and boy, do they make some demands when they get in the car. So we're going to listen to this and this, and I'm like, okay, and so I'm with, hey, Harry's, I like a good Harry Styles song.
I have to admit, I don't know if I could name a Harry Styles song. I'm sure if I heard one, I would recognize it.
What's the best one? Give us one that we can play right now for Nate to try to get him on the bandwagon.
Well, the most popular one is probably Watermelon Sugar.
Okay.
That was probably heard a lot on the radio. But personally, my favorite one right now is called Canyon Moon. And also, I like Carolina from his first album.
Play any of those for Nate, and we'll see if we can get... Okay, here comes Lebo to make comments. You know what? Don't say anything about the music we play. You go right back in your office. I can tell you that
He's a music snob, too.
Here we go. Oh, he is.
He loves Harry Styles.
Okay, what are we playing here?
Love him.
So do I.
Canyon Moon.
I don't want to make it like my daughter's force, man. Like, oh, good, Harry Styles. Want me to turn it up, girls? So hard to leave it.
That's what I always do. So I keep thinking back to. I can get down with this.
Can you?
Yeah.
You're not going to say anything bad later.
No, I like this.
All right.
So is this One Direction guy? What's up, you
waiting? Yeah, former One Direction.
Now, the girls, they went to see One Direction at Arrowhead, and so it was a fabulous night. Did you ever see One Direction, Annie?
I did, in Kansas City, actually. Drove down with my friends in high school and saw them.
Was it at Arrowhead?
No. It's probably in, like, the T-Mobile Center, whatever it's called now.
But you saw
it. It wasn't outside, because we were right around the plaza. I remember going... We had a shopping trip first, and then the concert. It was really fun. And 5 Seconds of Summer opened for them, which is a band I also really like. So it was very cool.
So is Harry Styles like the Justin Timberlake of One Direction, like the one guy that went on to make a bunch of good stuff?
Yeah, they all have pretty good solo careers.
They do.
Actually,
he's okay. The best.
Yeah.
I think.
I listen to Niall Horan a lot too. He's another one of their members.
See, like the girls are like him.
All of them.
Isn't there
Zayn Malik? I'm looking at a list here. See, got anything good out?
Yep, he's got some good stuff. Liam has good stuff.
Yeah, Liam's good.
Well, Todd Lebo now, Eli, he's on board. Well, Todd's daughter's about the right age for all this, so he's on board. Thank you very much, Annie, for bringing some different music for us. And my daughters will approve of this segment. They'll listen to the podcast just for this. So now I also try to get creative when I tweet out pictures of our guests to promote on the show. And so I went and did a Google search, and I have a picture of you. It looks like in a press box wearing a catcher's mask. What's the background on this one?
That would be when I I interned in Colorado in 2018 with MLB.com, and Tom Murphy, who is now with the Mariners, who was a catcher with the Rockies, and he hit a foul ball into the press box. And I wasn't ready for it. I thought it was going to drop in front of me. And at that time, you know, I was just an intern, so I was using my school laptop, you know, my personal one. And I was like about to go back to school. It was August.
Oh, no.
You know, about to leave. And I was like, I have to protect this laptop. Otherwise my parents aren't going to buy me a new one.
Right.
And I'm going to be really screwed come, you know, the first day of class. So I put my hands out to protect the laptop. And unfortunately, I misread the ball and it came down and hit my chin. So it ended up being totally fine. You know, I only had a little bruise. Well, it wasn't little, but it was just a bruise. Nothing worse happened there, but it became a pretty fun story just because I wasn't seriously hurt. And Thomas Harding, our MLB.com writer for the Rockies and my mentor, he asked Tom Murphy if he could have the catcher's mask from that game. And Tom said, of course, and gave me the mask on my last day. So that's the story behind that.
That's awesome.
It's still sitting in my office along with the ball. Tom was great about it. You know, he wrote heads up on the ball.
That's a great story.
Did he autograph I see an autograph at the top of the catcher's mask there.
Yeah, he autographed the top of it, gave it to me on my very last day. It was really cool. You know, it was kind of a lasting memory. Still have it sitting on my bookshelf here in my office at my house. So,
well, it's topical because
seriously hurt.
Yeah, right, yeah. It's topical. The Royals misplayed a few balls last night, so that, you know. I don't know if you were charged with an error, but the Royals had three. But before we get into that, I heard you during the different post-game Zoom conferences asking Brady Singer and then asking Mike Matheny about Salvador Perez and what he means to the team. And it was a big night for him, 4-for-4, getting hit number 1,000. But Jamie Bloomer, former Royals reliever, was in here earlier. It's like we were kind of surprised that he didn't have more than 1,000 hits. He's been here for so long, which gives you the proper appreciation for what it was like to see George Brett get 3,154, which to me still seems unbelievable. But Singer and Matheny, they all had some good things to say about Salvi. And so based on what you heard and what was said, tell us a little bit about Salvador Perez getting hit number 1,000 and what he still means to this team after a night that he went 4-for-4.
Yeah, really good night for him. On not a great night for the Royals, but you know you have to stand back and appreciate when those milestones come around because it says a lot about the player. You know, the longevity of what he's been able to do and also his production. You know, it's we talked about this last night with both Matheny and Salvi. It's hard as a catcher to do both, to be an offensive catcher and to be, you know, a good defensive catcher. And he's really done the work to be able to be in the conversation for both. You know, his value is just, you know, it's so great behind the plate. You know, you hear Brady Singer talk about it. You hear Brad Keller talk about it. And even Danny Duffy, who's been doing this for a long time, he talks about it, what that leadership does for a pitcher behind the plate. But then you put him in the lineup and he's able to produce like he does. And, last night, just knocked four singles, got on base. That's what the Royals want him to do, and it's just a cool milestone. And you're right, it does kind of put him into perspective what George Brett did. But I think everyone was really, really happy for Salvi, and he was proud of himself. And then you think about everything he's gone through, from being signed as an infielder in 2006 out of Venezuela, and growing up in this organization, and winning a World Series with the Royals, and then having to go through Tommy John surgery and missing that entire year, and then coming back and having such a great offensive year last year, even in the shortened season, and he missed some time too. So it was just a culmination of a lot of hard work for him, and I know everybody's really proud. He was really proud of himself, and it was a cool night. On the Royals didn't back him up with a win, but just still a cool night for him and for everybody involved there.
I had another question about Salvi. We were talking about this a little bit earlier, and at least with me, and I think with other people I've talked to, cautiously optimistic about his tremendous offensive production last year. And, part of it you could chalk up, small sample size, but still, I'm hitting .333 with a .986 OPS and 150 at-bats. That was something. And now this year, he's hitting .290 with a .390, with .371 on base and a .516 slug. And he's walked three times. And as Nate pointed out earlier, he walked three times last year. He's already walked three times this year. I wonder, and I'd like to get your opinion on this. You mentioned missing the entire year. There's always been concern about his workload and about how long he'd be able to hold up physically. And nobody wanted to see him miss the whole year. But he had the Tommy John surgery, and so he didn't have to catch it all in 2019. And then last year, he caught, I think, 31 games or 34 games in the 30s. So he didn't, he had a limited workload last year. And for a guy like Salvador Perez, who had caught so many games and who they'd have to try to convince not to play winter ball just so he could rest and let his body heal, do you think that may have benefited him, that he was able to take that much time off and now he looks like he's rejuvenated, he's got a better approach to the plate, and maybe in the long run that adds some years to his production, and that could be one of the reasons why we're seeing a better Salvi now after missing so much time?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a possibility. He's fresh. Like a lot of players after the shortened season, they talked about this offseason just, they weren't ready to go home. It was only 60 games. They were ready to continue. And Salvi is definitely in that boat with them, especially after missing the whole year with Tommy John. That's a hard surgery to go through. I talked to a lot of pitchers about it, but as a catcher to go through that, when you're used to playing every single day and going through the grind of a 9-inning game, it's got to be tough. And I think when he got back on the field, he probably felt rejuvenated and fresh. And I think that's what you're seeing here, is you're seeing a combination of feeling good physically, but then also having the excitement of being back on the field and having that full season here after a shortened season and after missing the whole 2019 season. I think there's something to be said mentally about that as well.
Okay, Annie, how concerned should we be about all of the strikeouts that the Royals hitters have been piling up over the past, particularly four games?
Yeah, it is worrisome. 88 strikeouts through eight games is a franchise record, and it's a lot of strikeouts. That's the way the game is trending, but you still have to have production to back it up. And yesterday, Angel starter Alex Cobb's splitter just completely baffled the Royals. Salvi's 1,000th hit was actually on that splitter after he had seen like six of them in that at bat. So I think, it is concerning, especially with a few guys who have, multiple strikeouts a game piling up for them. The Royals are going to have to fix that, and they know that. Their offense has stalled after those first two games. But it's just about, I think the continuous run of, games here this week might help them as far as getting their timing down. You know, we'll see. You know, that's a lot of talk first. We'll see how they can back it up on the field. But having a run of games, a stretch of games that they don't have an off day, is probably going to be helpful just from a hitter's perspective and their timing and getting their swing down. You know, all the off days last week can really mess with what a hitter is doing. So we'll see how that plays out. But the strikeouts are mounting. That's definitely a worrisome trend for them.
We have Annie Rogers from MLB.com, who covers the Royals, on the show. She joins us every week. Okay, so clearly Jesse Hahn wasn't right. And then we find out shoulder impingement. How did this all come about? Did they know about the problem before his last appearance? Did it happen afterwards? What was the timing here, and how concerned are they about this injury long term?
Yeah, so Jesse had, this is what Matheny told us. Jesse was warming up in the bullpen yesterday and had felt something in his shoulder, and he went into the game. And then afterwards, he told the Royals about it. You know, his velocity was down on Sunday, and he said, Matheny said that Jesse had been battling it a little bit, but there's always that fine line of, you know, what I'm feeling is this, you know, just the soreness of being a major league pitcher and throwing a baseball really hard, or is it something that I should be more concerned about? And I think every player has to go through that conversation in their head when they feel something. So better to be cautious about it, and Jesse was honest about it after Sunday's game. It was clear something wasn't right. You know, his velocity was way down with his sinker, which is his best pitch. And so, you know, they gave a full examination with X-rays on Monday morning, and that did show the right shoulder impingement. You know, no muscle strain, so that's a really good sign. He'll be on strict rest, no throwing for the next few days, and then they'll reassess and see where he's at. He'll take some medication to get the inflammation and pain down. But these injuries can be tricky. You know, some pitchers are out for a few weeks. Some are out for a few months. It's just a matter of getting ahead of it and making sure that the pain goes away before you start throwing it in. So it'll be about, you know, being honest and listening to the trainers, just like every injury, but especially with the shoulder. You don't want to mess with that too much as a pitcher too. So they need to get him right, get him healthy, for him to come back and be a big pitcher for them later this year.
Well, and it comes at a time when all of a sudden, after the first, what's it been, 2 weeks of the season or whatever, where it seems like they have had an off day or a rain out like every other day, all of a sudden, what do they have, 11 games in a row without a day off? They're going to need more innings out of their starting pitching and more, well, they're going to have five starting pitchers, aren't they, here coming up? How big of an issue is that for this team in terms of having enough healthy arms in the bullpen if the starting pitching doesn't start getting deeper in games?
Right. It is an issue. I think, you know, Danny Duffy's start last week against Cleveland and Mike Minor's first start were there only 2 6-inning games. And still, yesterday, Brady Singer got through five, but they had to run through a ton of relievers because the bullpen kind of unraveled there late in the game. And that's not what you want at the start of a 10-day homestand, and like you said, 11-day stretch. So we'll see, you know, how their depth kind of holds up here. They will have to have a fifth starter on Thursday. You know, Jacob Junis is in that conversation after he had a stellar start last week, five scoreless innings. One hit allowed against Cleveland. So he's in that conversation. You know, he hasn't been used. He wasn't used over the weekend. Wasn't used yesterday. So we'll see if he'll have to be used either today or tomorrow, leading up to that start. But the Royals need to figure that out. They need to have deeper starts. You know, that's just not only for the bullpen, but just to have that trend kind of you know, help out a little bit with their games. The offense can't pick up everything, and clearly, you know, there's worrisome trends there. So they need to get some quality starts out of their starters for sure.
And that just goes back to, like you said, get more innings out of the starters, because I mean you don't want to use Junis the next couple of days, because I think he was so good, and right. There's reasons why you would hope that he's going to take a step forward because of the addition of the new pitch. I mean, he deserves another shot, I think. I'd love to see him get another chance in the rotation, right?
Yeah, absolutely. I think he deserves it. You know, he showed what he can do with that cutter in his last start. You know, it's always funny. Like, he was slated to go 2 or 3 innings, and all of a sudden he's in the fifth inning because he was just so efficient. So I think he deserves to be in that conversation, and the Royals certainly do too. It's just about, you know, their need right now. You know, if they have a starter who can't get through, you know, 1 or 2 innings, they're going to need a long inning reliever there. So we'll see how it all shakes out, but I definitely think Jesus is in that conversation for sure.
Andy Rogers is our guest, right? Somebody asked me this over the weekend, so I thought I'd ask you because it was an interesting question. When Mondesi eventually comes back, I think what most people thought was, you know, Nicky Lopez is just going to be holding the position, and when he comes back, and then Nicky will probably be sent down, and then there's Mondesi at shortstop. But has he played well enough to where they have a decision on their hands? And is it as simple as, okay, either Isbell or Nicky Lopez? Because if Isbell's up, you want him playing. You don't want him sitting on the bench. Or is a chance that Mondesi comes back and Lopez and Isbell both stay on the team? I know it depends a lot on how they continue to play until Mondesi comes back, but at least Nicky has made this a conversation because of how well he's played and how you know, just for example, he's hit well, but like that bunt the other day in the extra inning, it's a perfect bunt. He's doing, and you know, a guy like Mike Matheny loves to see that. And on top of that, he's shown improvement at the plate. And so just curious what your thoughts are on that situation.
Yeah, I've gotten that question a few times, and it's an interesting one. I always hesitate to answer it just because so much can happen between now and when Mondesi comes back. You know, he's still working through that oblique injury, and it's going to take some time. There's no timetable for his return yet, which tells you it's going to be a couple more weeks still, because once he is able to get back on the field, he has to get, he has to have cage work, and he has to do, you know, he probably wants to get some wide at bats after sitting so long. So it is going to be still some time here. And I think the Royals, you never want to get too far ahead of yourself. So they'll have that conversation when it comes, and that's why I always hesitate to answer it. But the premise of it is Nicky Lopez has absolutely put himself in the conversation to stay. The Royals asked him to do, you know, just get on base, do what you can, at the bottom of the lineup there, use your speed. And he's done that and more. Play good defense. He's played great defense so far. He had the error last night, but he also had a great play at shortstop too. So he's done a fantastic job. You mentioned that bunt. That was a tough play to put down against a really good lefty too. So he put that down, and he got on base, and he did what he needed to do for the Royals. And so that's been a really good development for him. He's definitely put himself in the conversation to stay up when Mondesi returns. How much he plays and where he plays is still probably to be determined. Obviously, like I said, there's still some time to decide all of that, because Mondesi is still working back from that injury. So, but I do think that what Nicky Lopez has done is just been really fantastic, and the Royals couldn't be happier with everything that he's been able to do so far.
So with Mondesi, it sounds like they would want a rehab stint with him somewhere where he can get some at-bats. I guess they can do that even before these minor league seasons start if they have him go play in some of these inter-squad games or whatever they're doing. Do you know what the plan is there?
Yeah, there's no announced plan yet. They haven't really said much about it just because he's still working his way just back to baseball activity. But I would imagine just from having to sit and rest all this time, it's been, 3 weeks now? I'm not sure. 2.5 maybe. But he probably wants to just see some live pitching, before he's able to get back in game action. So we'll see how that all plays out. They haven't announced yet his timeline. They haven't announced his plan, but you know, I would assume that after sitting that long and being able to work back into baseball activity, he probably wants to see some live pitching before getting right back into a major league game.
Final question for you. How good do you think the Angels are? I mean, obviously they have the best player in baseball in Trout, but Ohtani, I mean, if he stays healthy, he looks, I think Bluma said earlier, they have the best player in baseball and maybe the all-around most talented player in Ohtani, and the pitching looked good yesterday, although part of that was the Royals. But I think most people feel like just watching the team yesterday and they're maybe a little better than we thought. How good are the Angels?
Yeah, it's a good question. You know, I think the Angels are kind of like they're like a wild card team, I guess, because obviously they have a really good lineup, but, you know, their pitching has always lagged behind, and that's really been, the main reason that they haven't been able to get in the playoffs, and Mike Trout deserves to go to the playoffs. So, I think that Ohtani, I mean, he just is so impressive. The double that he hit yesterday to the right field corner, 119 miles an hour off the bat. I looked up from my computer because it was late in the game, so I was getting my game story ready, and I was like, that's got to be out. And it didn't. It dropped right in the corner, perfect placement, but it was hit so well, so hard, and that's just the kind of hitter he is. And then you look at the pitcher he is also, you know, unfortunately he's dealing with a blister right now, but when we watched him on that Sunday night game, hitting 101 miles per hour, you know, it's just impressive to watch, and it's fun to watch too. So the Angels are interesting. I think they can be really good if they can put everything together. What Alex Cobb showed was impressive yesterday. I know the Royals lineup has been struggling, but that splitter was a really good pitch for him. So he's really good, and so is Dylan Bundy too, their opening day starter. So we'll see how it all how they play out. But I think it's an exciting team to watch, especially with Trout and Ohtani. And then, obviously they've got Jared Walsh is off to a good start too. So I like their team. It's just kind of really about the pitching and how that all plays out for them.
To your point, Ohtani is just the fifth player in the StatCast era to have a batted ball of 119 miles per hour or more. And that was the double you're talking about last night. That's
crazy.
A fifth player to have that. Yeah. So.
So, Andy, you were talking about how Mike Trout deserves to be in the playoffs.
Oh, boy. I knew Nate was going to say something about this, Andy.
He was in the playoffs once.
Yeah. Went up against that Royals juggernaut. And so,
he batted .083 against Kansas City Royals in the ALDS.
Oh, give him another chance.
I'm just saying. He did hit
a
home run.
And I hope he gets the Royals again, so let's go.
As long as he doesn't have to play the Royals, he'll do well.
Andy.
All right.
Yeah, right.
Like, I'll give that to you.
And he's like, thanks, Nate, you smart ass.
I couldn't help it.
How long ago was that, though?
That's right. Annie, thank you very much for the time. Thank you for adding to the catalog of music that Jay can play when you come on the show, because we want you to be in a good mood.
You
appreciate
taught me
it.
A lot about One Direction today, and I appreciate that.
I'm always here for that.
Well.
Always.
We needed it. Thank you, Annie.
Thanks, guys.
That's Annie Rogers.
Was that out of bounds for me to just? I'll just point out some
no,
facts.
No, but I mean,
here,
she's like, you know.
I'm just saying, in 2014.
No, there's nothing wrong with it, because I thought the same thing. I said, but I'm not, I'm not going to try to show our guest up. But
I wasn't
clearly
showing
you don't
her.
Have a problem
I just,
with that.
I just point out some facts here.
It's true.
The Angels had the best record in the American
it's
League
true.
That year, I think, and then he went 1-for-12.
How many games did they win against the Royals in that series?
I think zero.
Oh, okay.
The series only lasted three games, right, so then. I don't know how they could have won any.
Honest question before you break, and be honest, because you came off that mountain and you are a truth teller, right?
For the most part.
Give me the percent. What percent of that series between the Royals and Angels do you remember?
I remember.
Do you have like a good grasp of?
I remember a Hosmer home run and a Moustakas home run. I remember that was the only game I didn't go to in that postseason.
Me too.
At Royal Stadium. Both my brothers went. I was traveling for CBS. And so
you're recalling a lot more than I thought.
There was a layover in Chicago. I can't remember where I was flying from. But there were a couple other Royals fans that we were paying attention to it.
You
on
got
our
a
phones.
Pretty good idea of this,
right?
Yeah, but you know,
but I yeah, I
the
mean,
general concept you got.
If
right.
like I said, it was the one game of the whole postseason at right. Kauffman that I didn't go to.
It's not everything's like reverse with him. Usually, it's the games that you don't go to, you don't remember quite as well, and you go to and you remember everything. If he didn't go to a game, he remembers
right.
it pretty well. If he went to a game, he's got nothing.
No idea.
He's got no idea what happened, and he was at the ballpark.
I will say that there in the would have been the ALCS, right?
When I begged Baltimore. You to sit down so many times during that postseason. No.
I remember.
Don't need to sit down.
I remember before the Moustakas dive into the stands. The game,
you had no idea that it happened.
Well, with that game, I know that's Find Jake. Hashtag Find Jake.
Right,
game.
You didn't know that happened.
Right, but the actual game in Baltimore, the two games in Baltimore, I remember I was. I don't need.
You don't have to.
Yeah,
you don't need to.
I was at closed quarters, which no longer
right.
exists.
But the growth, it demonstrates the growth since then. But do you remember the next day? When he found out, when he saw the he goes, "You see this Moustakas?" Yeah, we did. This guy, the next day,
we all saw it. We were
was
watching.
Enamored with that play.
You believe that is unbelievable.
Could you see? Do you see this play?
I can't believe people weren't talking about this.
Idiot, you were there. What? Yeah.
Well, kind of.
I mean, I mean, no, seriously. The next day, you were super excited about that play.
It was an
exciting play. Right? I'm sure it was.
You want to know what I remember about that Angel series?
More
I
than
watched
Jake.
This game two, the game that won in extra innings when Hosmer hit the 11th inning home run. I watched that with Bob Davis.
I was on stage at P&L. You just reminded me of that. All right.
I was in Morgantown. Well, we were in some suburb of Pittsburgh at a hotel getting ready for because KU was going to play against West Virginia in football the next day.
Oh.
That was my last year as a sideline reporter. I got heckled by a shirtless man in overalls.
Good. Which is
what I got a good picture of that.
You know how many times I wish I could do that?
He had a raccoon skin cap on.
Overalls and no shirt and just heckle you?
He had like one buckle, one strap on. The overalls was undone, you know? So like
comfort.
Yeah. And those are the things but Bob Davis and I watched that game. In the hotel lobby or whatever bar that's a great memory I have because that was my last year and I was like I remember thinking to myself I am not going to miss coming to Morgantown.
I'd like to do that at a sporting game and just like put on overalls with one you know and just,
just
heckle you
me.
Throughout the entire that'd be fantastic.
I'm not on the sidelines for that.
So what? I want to be in the booth.
Well, there you go.
And heckle you during the call.
That would be good.
And maybe
yeah, I took a picture over my shoulder of this guy.
Maybe if I put enough pressure on you, then you can emulate Rob Stone and give that kind of energy.
Randy!
That's all. Hey, I'm going to keep it up. Until I hear that from you out of the booth, then you're going to hear from this every day.
I want to match.
The 7-10, Randy!
Oh,
he did it! Woo-hoo-hoo! My goodness, the ginger assassin!
What if you were listening to a sporting game on 810, Jake, and you heard Nate give that kind of call?
I'd be out of my seat.
You'd love it. You'd love it. You'd
be
cheering.
Oh. Yes.
Like that kind of, yes.
He did it, Jacob.
7-10, Randy.
Oh,
he did it.
I'm just telling you what people want to hear.
I know.
You
Rob
can
Stone's
listen to me
awesome.
Or not. I'm telling you what people want to hear.
It's enthusiasm.
Back after this.
The 7-10, Randy.
On WHB.
He did it.